Well, it's good to be here. Can I stand down here? I'll fumble with my notes a bit, but it's kind of more close to be here. I have a message for you from God. I really believe that. Thank you for that introduction. My wife says, well, what are you speaking on tonight? And I told her, and she said, you're going to give him a whole sermon on a Wednesday night? I said, well, I don't know. Let's see. We got plenty of time, so I'm not sure I'd do that. However, just sitting over here, the Lord started to speak to me. It hasn't changed the message. My wife paid me a compliment years ago, never since, but years ago. And she said, when I was traveling preaching, she said, every time you preach, even though it's the same sermon, it's different. I think that was a compliment. Years ago, I was associate pastor of Barberton, Ohio, many years ago, 1975, 76, and swore I'd never come back to Ohio. Well, then in 1997, God called us to come to work at Mount Vernon Nazarene University. I was there for 9 years as an administrator and as a professor. And then God called me into a local ministry to the culture of poverty. I sometimes am embarrassed saying that because it's not normal. But it had its ups and it had its downs, and I thank God for that. And he's released me from that, and now he's saying at my age he wants me out preaching. And so he's given me the messages, and so I want to share them. And thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity. I think he sensed as we got together a few weeks ago that I had a message I just had to share. If it wasn't in church, it'd be out on the corner somewhere, I guess. God's been changing me over the years, and my relationship with him has changed. It is so vital and so beautiful. And so, you know, what I thought I would do is I'd give you my motivation. I used to teach in the adult program at Mount Vernon Nazarene University. We had satellite campuses. At that time, there were five. We had about 20 students, I think was maximum, in a group. They would meet like every Monday night for 2 years and finish their bachelor degree. So we always started with devotions. And the last class, usually a full course, believe it or not, was 5-6 weeks at the most. I would choose this as a devotion, and I would say this is the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 3. What he's saying is, this is my prayer for you. And so I have adopted that, and I used to tell my students, this is my prayer for you, as this is our last night together. And I say tonight, this is my prayer for you, and hopefully this is what you'll experience through the time that we have together. Let me read it to you. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray, Paul, or I pray, that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That's my prayer for me and for you, the love of God, that you may have power to grasp this love, and through that, the joy that God has for us. The scripture I want to look at very briefly as a starting point, maybe, and you probably say, well, what do you already do? But 1 John 1, the first 7 verses, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. Now, here's what I want to emphasize. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write these things so that your joy might be complete. There's not much normal about me. Those that know me will attest to that fact. And I have just so, over the years, said, Lord, why couldn't I just be normal? when it comes to my, quote, career. Why couldn't I pastor? I did that for 18 years, starting in Massachusetts. I went to Eastern Nazarene College, got a degree and a wife, and pastored in New England, then pastored near Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Western Pennsylvania, and then, as was already said, in Canada. And there, God released me from pastoring. I said, Lord, what am I going to do? And through a series of events, and I won't bore you with the story, God opened the opportunity to be chaplain of a very large Christian high school. And that was such great ministry, and I did that for 4 years. And then the Lord said, I want you to go and be an administrator in Christian schools, so I became principal of a Christian school. Now, we were in Canada. I left the family in Canada because it was my son's senior year, and I moved to Connecticut. And we thought we would be going there for the next several years. After a year, I worked my way out, and not knowing where we were going to go or where God was leading, God opened the door through a series of events to come work at Mount Vernon Nazarene University. So I was there for 9 years and then moved into this other ministry. Not being normal, let me tell you, many of you, and this is a statistic that I'm finding, I'm not taking a poll tonight, but if I did, we'd find that most of you here found the Lord either in a revival meeting or a camp meeting or a teen or children's camp. I was saved at a teen camp. Unfortunately, we don't have revivals anymore, and so that kind of, you know, leaves that out. We do have camp meeting. We've brought it down to, 4 days now, I think, Wednesday through Sunday. By the way, I go to 4 camp meetings a year. I'm going to be in 2 and not speaking, just attending, because I just love sitting under the preaching. When I was a teenager, I was not raised in the church. My parents didn't have anything to do with the church. I got into the church, and not real sure how. Somehow my mother decided we were going to go to church. So my sister and I, she tells me, my sister says that we would go to Sunday school, and then she and I would go out and sit in the car while my mother stayed for the service. I don't remember any of that. Well, you know, that's something we had to do because Mom said we had to. Except not too many weeks into it, I met Debbie, and I fell in love. And so I found out they had an evening service. So I came back to sit with Debbie. And then I found out that was 7 o'clock. 6 o'clock, they have a youth service that Debbie went to. So I would come back for the youth service. Then I found out Debbie was in the choir, which met at 5 o'clock on Sunday nights. So I would come, and I joined the choir. Then Wednesday night, they had a service. So I came back Wednesday night. I was there every time the door opened. I learned all the things to say, what you do and what you don't do. I was playing the act quite well. Well, there were several people in the church that took an interest in me, and I highly recommend this. There was one man whose name was Bill. He had 2 young daughters, and again, I was just a young teenager. We would have a father-son banquet. Remember those days? He would come to me and say, George, you're coming with me. He didn't ask me, because he knew my dad didn't have anything to do with the church. And so we would go, and several others, you know, took an interest in us, and I appreciate those youth workers. And I'm sure I was no easy task to minister to. Well, there's a lady that I always call her a little old lady. She's probably younger than I am now, but to a teenager, she was quite old, and she took an interest in the teens, and she didn't really do anything. She didn't have any training. She was a divorced woman. And I don't know any of the circumstances, so she was kind of quiet in the church, but she loved us teenagers. We loved to sit with her. We loved to be with her because she loved us so much. Well, I didn't tell you that the youth group was all girls and me, which, you know, if I knew what I knew now, that would be pretty good, but I was a pretty shy guy. And this woman, Lily was her name, came to me and she said, my nephew would like to go to teen camp, but he doesn't want to go with all the girls. Would you go? I couldn't say no to Lily. So off to teen camp I go. Now, this is the New England district combined with the New York district, and we went to Camp Taconic. Some of you might know that name. And so we went, and we did the normal things you do at camp. We had a speaking evangelist, and we had services and sports and all kinds of things. Well, I, to this day, still don't like the idea that at those camps, the Friday night of camp, anybody know what it is? You're not old enough, okay. That's date night. That's the banquet. That's the big event for the whole week. And you know what? You need a date. Well, for some reason, Debbie didn't go. And I didn't know what to do. I was very shy. So I happened to see this girl, Cassandra was her name. And so I sent my friend Charlie, go ask her if she'll go to the banquet with me. Charlie came back and he said, I have your answer. She said she doesn't like you, but she doesn't want to go to the banquet by herself, so yes, she'll go with you. Yeah, I wonder why I have such low self-esteem today. So Cassandra and I went. Let me tell you, I found out later her name wasn't Cassandra, it was Jane. Oh my. Anyway, we went to the service, and we went to the banquet, and then we all moved over and listened to the evangelists who went on and on and on and had one of the longest altar calls I've ever heard. Now, I knew what to do. And at one point, the evangelist said, everybody, bow your heads and close your eyes. So I did it to impress Cassandra. And that was the thing to do. I mean, she didn't like me, but, you know, maybe I can make an impression on her. Now, my wife will tell you I'm ADHD. I don't sit still very long. And my eyes were closed, my head was bowed, and he went on and on and on. Like we are. So my mind is wandering, which it still does to this day. But where it was wandering, I believe, was under the direction of the Holy Spirit. I started thinking, if this whole thing of a God who could love me, I didn't give you all the details. My parents loved me, but I never knew it for years. I was overweight. I was insecure. It was awkward for me in my teen years, and I just felt so unloved. And my thinking was along these lines: if there was a God that could love me, I could buy into that. Now, I didn't go forward. I didn't kneel at the altar. A lot of people were. I didn't even pray, really. But as I sat there that night, God came down upon me and wrapped his great arms of love around me. And I felt loved for the first time in my life. Now, I don't know where that falls theologically. I didn't repent. I didn't ask for forgiveness. I didn't do all those things. But God and I entered into a loving relationship that was August 1st, 1968, and it has gotten better every day. Lily was waiting outside after the banquet. We were all supposed to go down to the campfire. Lily met me at the door, and she said, what happened to you tonight? I said, nothing. What do you mean? Now, again, I hadn't cried. I hadn't moved. I hadn't gone forward, anything like that. She said, God told me that you got saved tonight. I'd been around a year or two, and so I knew what the words meant. I thought, well, okay, I guess if that's what you want to call it. Then she said, now you have to go home and tell your parents. But no way. I'll stay here in the woods before I would do that. That loving relationship is what God wants with all of us. And sometimes we get caught up in so many other things that it gets in the way. And the love of God came down upon a teenager in such a way that it changed my life. Now, I want to tell you this story. I have two boys. One is 40, works for the government. You'll have to forgive him. The other one lives in Mount Vernon, and he's married. He's got a good job, both he and his wife. But neither of them want anything to do with the church. And it breaks our heart. We pray daily, every day, sometimes more than once. We pray, Lord, they both traveled for their jobs, so we pray, Lord, keep them safe as they travel, and somehow help them to find you as Savior. But just in the recent weeks, God's been speaking to me about a different approach. Because, you know, this is my son, and what do I pray? Do I pray? And I used to, a year or so ago, you know, Lord, help him to realize his condition. Remember the old time, I guess I'm thinking there are people here old, but you're not. Not as old as me. In the old days, we used to hear people pray, Lord, pray conviction upon them. Don't let them rest until such time as they find salvation in you. I still think they're the good old days in some ways. But I don't pray that anymore. Pray, Lord, help him to ask you to come to you and repent and ask your forgiveness. My prayer has changed for him and his wife. And that prayer is, Lord, help them to sense what they're missing in the relationship with you that I have and that they can have. Yes, I believe they need to confess. I believe they need a Savior. They need to repent. That's all important. I don't want to throw that out. But I am in the place in my spiritual journey where we're talking about this relationship. You see, God created us for relationship. You know that. I'm not telling you anything you didn't. In Genesis, you know, God created Adam and Eve and everything else. And then you know about the fall. We all know about that. But as we look at that in chapter 3 of Genesis, it says, the man and the wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. I am not a theologian. I do think and overthink some things. And I went, okay, he walked through, what does that look like? What are the mechanics of that? He's a spirit. And so I don't know what that looks like. But they did. Because this was something he did daily. He came and he walked with them. And he fellowshipped with them. And in this particular time, because they had been disobedient, there was a break in that fellowship. And since then, there's been a break in fellowship between mankind and him. I can stand here tonight and tell you, without any doubt at all, God and I had that relationship that he had with Adam and Eve before the fall. And I can tell you it's beautiful. It really is. Too few people today have that relationship. You may know the name Dennis Kinlaw. For enjoyment, I listen to sermons. I know I'm not normal. I told you that. And I listened to one of his sermons about 15 years ago. It was recently, but he preached it 15 years ago. You can get it on the internet. And it was called Intimacy with God. And in there, he says, the trouble with the church today is people who think they're Christians, but aren't. I was at a camp meeting in Avon Park, Florida, 2 years ago, and I heard our General Superintendent Emeritus, J.K. Warwick. And there he said that the trouble with the Church of the Nazarene is that people have, too many people have bought into the church but have not sold out to Christ. And I've been kind of saying that, but not as eloquently. I think too many people have joined the club and they're committed. I'm a Rotarian. And we have a competition with Kiwanis in Mount Vernon. My pastor's a Kiwanian, but we'll forgive him. And I go regularly every Tuesday for lunch. And I fellowship with the people and you know, they're community leaders and we have a good time. But that's actually helped me because how is that any different than what I do on Sundays in my church? I'm a Rotarian. I'm a member of the Rotary Club, a club I respect locally and district-wise and international in what they're able to do. But there's something about the church more than joining the club and being a member. And I believe too many people are missing out at that. Now, I'm not here to criticize, to judge, to condemn. I'm here to offer you a message from God. And if it doesn't apply to you, praise God. And that's okay. But maybe it does. I want to ask you, do you walk in this fellowship? You've heard sermons on fellowship and koinonia and all of that with the Son, Jesus Christ. I believe, a significant indicator of that relationship of the relationship with God is, do we encounter him on a regular basis? And let me put it more simply. Does he talk to you? Now, I teach a Sunday school class. We take a book of the Bible. Right now, we're taking Acts, and we just go verse by verse, and we tear it apart, and we research it, and we look and put it back together again. I really enjoy teaching it. The people in the class seem to enjoy it. And I was sharing this one Sunday that, you know, God speaks to us. And I shared some examples, and I have several here. You know, Jacob, God spoke to him. And you know, the place they wrestled, Jacob and God, he called Peniel because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. You remember God calling Samuel. You know, all of these Old Testament, I've got all the scriptures here. I won't, you know, take time to read them. But, you know, the third time God called to Samuel, verse 8 says, and Samuel got up, you know the story, went to Eli and says, "What do you want?" And he says, "It can't, must not be me. Next time say, Lord, I'm listening." Maybe the next time God speaks to us, we need to say, "Lord, your servant is listening. What do you have to say to me?" Because it's beautiful when he speaks. And Gideon, all of these. And what I believe is that as we've read scripture and we know all of this, we listen to and grasp from the story the main point, but we miss the fact that God speaks. The greatest example is Moses. Up on the mountain, a burning bush. Well, that's impressive. It wasn't consumed. And we know that God said, "I want you to, you know, rescue my people." And we know the whole story, and it's a great story, and praise God. But the fact is, God spoke audibly to him through a bush at this time. But there's so many times that God spoke. Noah, "I'm sorry, you know, I don't like what he's gone through and the way his life turned out." But Bill Cosby was the funniest guy when he gives that. If you haven't seen it, it's got to be on YouTube. You know, he does this whole thing about, you know, Noah and, you know, build an ark. It's very funny. But God spoke to him. He says, "I want you to build an ark." Now, there was no rain at the time. They weren't anywhere near any body of water. And he says, "This is what I want you to build. This is how big I want you to build it." And if anybody had any sense, they would say, "God, what are you talking about? You've got to be kidding me." Fortunately, Noah was obedient. And he and his family were saved. You know, sometimes God speaks to us and we tend to act like maybe Noah would have been tempted to. God, you don't want me. No, God, you know, that's really not you. I'm just thinking this, that it couldn't be, and we brush it off. What if Noah had done that? Where would we be today? The Apostle Paul. Just three times I pleaded with God. In prayer, and you've probably been there, "Take this thorn of flesh, whatever it happens to be, away from me." And then it says in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, "But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you." You know that story. You could probably quote it. And the story, the importance of it is there, but I want us to look deeper and see, not only did we receive the message, but apparently God spoke audibly to Paul. And God speaks to us. I started to tell you about our Sunday school class while I was sharing this, and one of the retired religion professors that I love and respect very much, if I gave you his name, you'd probably know him, sits in my class. There's like four or five clergy in there. My wife loves to argue with them. We have a good time in there. And this person spoke up and said, "You know, George, you know, I see what you're saying, but the Old Testament, those people didn't have the Bible like we have it. And even in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul didn't have all his own writings and all of the other books, the book of Revelation, and didn't have all that. So, you know, God had to speak audibly, but today he speaks through Scripture. I don't disagree. God does speak through Scripture. And if we are not into the Word with the express purpose of hearing him speak to us, then we're missing it. But I'm here tonight to tell you that God does speak audibly aside from through the Scriptures. And since the first time I talked about this, so many different stories in my own life have come to mind. And it's one of those things, which one do I share? I shared Sunday in Sunday school class, and I don't know what the point was, but early in my ministry, this is probably 40 years ago, I was pastoring near Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I was involved in the Chamber of Commerce. Then I was in the Kiwanis Club. I was president of the board of directors of the YMCA. I was a young guy, but God used me in those roles in the community, in the church. You know, we started with 15 people and went to about 140 in 9 years before we left. So it wasn't that we were some mega church, but God had used me in these community activities. And so I get this phone call. It says, hey, don't you love this? The person that we were going to have pray at this big event can't do it. So can you come next week over to the big main event center? It was the Big Brothers and Big Sisters back then was putting on a roast of Pete Rose. And it was all the big name broadcasters and so forth. Now remember, this is 40 years ago. And I thought, boy, I'm pretty special. Of course I will. Thanks for asking. Didn't stop to think that, hey, you're just a fill-in because the guy they wanted couldn't make it. So I got all ready and I got dressed up as best I could. And I got in my little car and I started to drive across town to this place where they were holding this big event. There were, you know, several hundred people there. It was a big fundraiser. This was before Pete Rose fell from glory. And so on the way, I'm praying because I'm a Christian. Not only that, I'm a Nazarene pastor. And so I'm driving my little car and I'm saying, Lord, now use me today. Help me to say just the right things. Don't let me trip. Don't let me fall over my words. And I didn't say it in so many words, but what I was saying and praying and asking God, make me look good. And as I drove in that little car, all of a sudden I hear the voice of God. And this is what he said. What if I can receive glory by your falling flat on your face in front of all those people? Turn that car around. I don't need this gig. I had to do some serious thinking. Thankfully, I was able to say, a little grudgingly maybe, but okay, God, if you, I want you to receive the glory because you are my Lord. And because of this relationship we have, I do not want to fall flat on my face. I do not want to, you know, blow this. But if that's how you can use me, your will be done. I drove a little slower. I did get there. Got to sit on the stage with Pete Rose, who I didn't really know that well back then, but and I got to pray before the meeting started. I thought I did okay. And then later on, the big name people started to get up and they were roasting Pete Rose. And I don't remember who it was, but one of them got up and said, when he started, he says, each one of us got a message, that's back before email, but we were told that we each had 8 minutes and that's it for our part of the program. Apparently, Reverend Small didn't get the message. So I was kind of hiding my face with that one. I didn't think I went that long, but anyway, I believe God used me that day. I have to finish the story. They had a big show afterwards, which was so risque, I couldn't wait to get out of there. It was not a place for a Nazarene pastor to be. So I get out of there quickly. My point is, driving my little car from Norristown, Pennsylvania to Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, or King of Prussia, whichever one it was, God came into that car and spoke to me. Now, I want to be clear that it's not always what we think of as a booming voice. I mean, it is. It's loud. But, it's not like, somebody else, if they were in the car, could hear it. And I listened to an evangelist. I need to look up his name, but I decided when I heard this, I would use it. And he says, God spoke to me, not in a booming voice, but to and through my spirit. And that's so much louder. I like that. God does speak to us. And I could tell you, I could stand here all night long, except your pastor won't let me, to tell you all the stories of which when God speaks to me and says, this is what you're to do. Or sometimes it's a word of praise. Hey, I know you don't feel all that good about what you did, but thank you. You were obedient to me. We have a loving relationship. We do, and it's beautiful. And I long for my son and daughter-in-law to have this relationship. Do I dare say I don't care if they go to church? I think they should. I think there's so much in the church and raising our children in Sunday school and youth programs are so important, and worship and leading and singing. Thank you for that tonight. But do we have that relationship with God that He created us to have? See, the conditions for this are in 1 John. It says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we will have fellowship one with another. And with the Spirit. The blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. Luke 14:33 says, in the same way, those of you who do not give up everything cannot be my disciples. The words of Jesus. We don't hear, you probably do hear, because you got a good pastor, but I don't hear the message in our churches anymore that we need to make Him Lord of all. Remember the old saying, if He's not Lord of all, He's not Lord at all? I have a bit of a problem with that because He's the Lord anyway, whether we acknowledge it or not. But they mean in our life, if He's not Lord of all, He's not really our Lord. And we're kidding ourselves. But we need that relationship with God. In Psalm 145:18, the psalmist grasped this when he said, the Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirits that we are children of God. If I'm not speaking to you here, that's great. But if I am, can I encourage you? Whatever it takes, and it might just be going to God and saying, hey, I want what that guy was talking about. I say, and not to be critical, but I tend to say that we don't witness. We're supposed to be out there witnessing. You're to be my witnesses. It's a great commission. And we don't do it. We don't share what we have with our neighbors, with the cashiers, with the wait staff at a restaurant. And I include myself in this. I think partly because we don't have anything to share. What are we going to share? Hey, come to God and you can start tithing. And you can start giving money to the church. And you can come every Sunday for 4 hours on Sunday morning and come back Wednesday nights. Doesn't that sound like a lot of fun? If I found on the way here gasoline selling for $1 a gallon, as soon as I came in here, the first people I came to, I would tell them where it is, what a deal it is, and if you need gas, you need to go get it. Why? Because that's a great deal. And we find great deals, and we share it with people. So I'm wondering if maybe we don't have anything to share. Again, I'm not trying to condemn you or criticize you or anything else. I'm just saying, man, if you aren't there, you can be. I saw some blue books over there that remind me, remember the old days that we called them hymnals? Haven't seen those in years. I think of the hymn, and this is one of my favorites. And I love to sing it to the Lord in the garden. You know that song? I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I think the writer of that had something that they had to put into music because it was that kind of relationship. And that's my prayer for you, that you'll be able to grasp how high and wide and long and deep is the love of Christ and have that fellowship with him. You're here on a Wednesday night. So I know that I'll make sure I get this right now, that you have, I can't find it, bought into the church. My encouragement, my passionate plea to you is sell out to Christ. You can't make a better investment. See, I told you I'm not normal, and I feel that way so often because, you know, I talk to people. I preach one Wednesday night in the Lake Home Church, and I said, now, I'm not suicidal, but I can't wait to get to heaven. I can't wait, you know. You know, people are afraid of dying. Doctors think that's the final defeat if you die. You know, and unfortunately, a lot of people in the church, and Christian, good Christian people, somehow we've gotten away from that. We don't, you know, with what I have now, as and the Apostle Paul says, I see through a glass darkly, and then in that day I will be with him forever in his presence. I can't wait. Now, I don't tell God what to do, but several years ago I said, listen, I said, if you're not going to use me to build the kingdom, then take me home. So he put me to work. At my age, he said, I want you to go out and preach. Anywhere and everywhere they'll have you. And that's why I got in touch with your pastor. Said, what do I do? How do I start? You know, you're pretty experienced at this. And he says, what are you doing in 2 weeks? Come preach on Wednesday night. Thank you for the opportunity. Sell out to Christ. You want that fulfilling, joy-filled relationship with God? He wants it with you. So much so that he sent Jesus Christ to die for you so that you would be enabled to have that relationship just like Adam and Eve had before the fall. And I can just tell you, as one who's experienced it, it's well worth anything that he might ask of you. Let me pray with you. Father, I don't deserve what you've given me. I don't deserve the relationship we have, but I'm sure thankful, and I sure enjoy it. And I ask, Lord, that you would speak to all those that are here tonight, and if there's anything that, and it may not be an either or, but if there's a closer walk that you want to have with them, Lord, speak to them. Help them to make that concerted effort to fellowship with you, to experience the love of Christ. Continue your blessing upon this church, all of its ministries, its outreach to the community. And Father, we'll do our best to serve you until you take us home. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.